The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre. I'm here with you this morning, live and local in our WTBR studio, and glad to have you along for the program this morning. Always appreciate our listening audience out there, and we know we get people that listen all the time. We really appreciate that. We have a great show for you this morning. On the program, we have City Council President Pete White. He will be here for the whole full hour this morning, talking to us about all the issues that the City Council faces and things that are coming up in the next few months and maybe even next year. All kinds of good stuff going on in the city and, you know, consequential issues is, for sure. But this hour would take your mind off of the presidential election for at least an hour where we could talk about local issues. Hope you enjoy that. And we'll be starting with that conversation in just a moment. 89.7 WTBR-FM is proud to announce our sixth annual one-day on-air fundraiser, and this event will take place on Thursday, November 21st from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Don't miss our guests, including local dignitaries and your friends and neighbors from the community. There will be plenty of incentives you can win, including restaurant gift certificates, tickets to local cultural attractions, and much more. And for each donation of $25 or more, you will be in the running to win a Thanksgiving feast from KJ Nosh Catering on Tyler Street in Pittsfield. You can make your donation to the Rock Box right now in case you want to get a jump on that big fundraiser that we do in November. And that is at WTBRFM.com. It's right there on the homepage. Don't miss the sixth annual one-day on-air fundraiser live from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 21st. From 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. only on 89.7 WTBR-FM and all day live on the WTBR Facebook page. And thank you for supporting your community radio station, your local community radio station. All right, Pete White joins us in just a moment. Let's go to the weather forecast and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Friday, partly sunny with a chance of showers in the morning, then sunny in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. Temperature falling into the upper 50s in the afternoon. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. It's going to be a warm Halloween tonight, that's for sure. All the little kids in their all their costumes, they don't have to worry about trudging through 12 inches of snow or puddles of rain or anything like that. It's just going to be kind of a nice warm night. Actually, going to probably leave the coats at home tonight for Halloween. I hope everybody enjoys that. All right. Well, once again, welcome to the program. It's Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And joining me here in the studio now is City Council President Pete White. Hello, Pete. How are you?
Good. Good. Morning, Sean. Happy Samhain. Happy Halloween, All Hallows Eve, whatever you celebrate. Right. It's just an all-around great holiday, and it's wonderful that the kids get a warm night tonight.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just the kids that are into Halloween. There's plenty of adults that really still get into it, right?
Yeah.
Really big deal for costumes and costume parties and things like that. Yeah, I don't know if I'm one of them, but I kind of get it.
You know, I'm invited to a Halloween party that is luckily a little late because I was away in Indianapolis last weekend, so I'm happy that I didn't miss all the Halloween festivities, but I do have to figure out a costume to wear.
So yeah.
It's not, I've got a couple, but it's not easy because it's a, I always dislike wearing something over my face, but the ones with masks are the easiest to do.
Right? Yeah, that's true. That's true. Easy. I like easy. And it is one of those weird years, too, where the Halloween parade is almost a full week before Halloween, right? We had that on Friday, and that was quite a nice event. And, of course, it happens right around the same time as the big football rivalry between PHS and Taconic. So PCTV folks are always split, going two different places at the same time trying to cover both of those events, but somehow we managed to do it. It was a fun time, fun night.
And I appreciate PCTV doing that because I was away. I wasn't able to catch them yet, but I look forward to watching replays. And it's so important that PCTV does that, and I know that's why I already have my time booked for the Rock Box,
that's right.
The fundraiser for WTBR, and always want to support PCTV. So even if we can't catch things live, we can still know what's going on in our community.
Well, we very much appreciate that, and we hope everyone out there takes your words to heart. And, we do that fundraiser for the radio station once a year. We just block out programming one day, so it's not like it's, multiple times a year or anything like that. But that day is very important to keep the station running, for sure. Well, so lots of stuff going on in the city. Some quiet city council agendas, but it doesn't mean things aren't happening. Why don't we talk about one of the decisions that was made earlier in the year that's now sort of unfolding, and that's the trash and recycling. Give us an update on how that's going. It's still in the rollout phase, right?
Yeah, it's still, the city's rolling out the trash bins, the toters for that. The recycling bins are pretty much all out. If you've requested a second recycling bin, it usually takes about 3 weeks from when you've requested it.
Mm.
I've heard a lot of people say that the bins inside are bigger and hold more than they thought. Mm-hmm. Others are still going to need maybe a second recycling bin or second trash toter until they get used to, reducing, reusing, and recycling. The 3 R's that we've been being taught for so long, now we actually have to implement, because I know for me, we're a two-person household,
mm-hmm.
Occasional guests. I always, fit into the one toter for trash.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I had any bigger size toter with what I recycle, I probably wouldn't have had to. But having this size really forces me to recycle like I was already doing and, try to go even more, really going to the Casella app, mm-hmm. typing in what can be recycled, how do I get rid of things. The city website also has a lot of resources on where to dispose of things that, we don't want to go just in the toter bin. So mm-hmm. I really suggest people spend some time on the city website. You can look under the toter program for all the links that you need to request more, call the mayor's office and then the commissioner's office and then Casella if you've got a problem, because I know the mayor wants to be right out front knowing everything that's going on so they can do the best job they can making sure this works for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that you might be surprised about is what is and isn't recyclable. You might have in your mind, maybe misconceptions from previous years, and things change, right? But it's all about, it isn't so much that it says recyclable on the bottom of the bottle, because that may or may not be true for our particular plan. We work through the Springfield MRF, the recycling center, right? And so it's whatever they accept. That will be, that you can throw in your recycling bins for either the cans and bottles or for the paper. But, there are a lot of people that will say, well, you can't recycle a pizza box because it's got food on it. And actually, that's not true anymore. That used to be true. It's changed.
That was the big one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Because pizza boxes is probably what I get the most questions on. As mm-hmm. long as it doesn't have like cheese and sauce on it, grease is fine. Mm. Scrape off that little bit of extra,
mm-hmm.
Topping that might have gotten on top of the box, and just put that right in the recycling bin.
Yeah. Most paper and cardboard, pretty easy to figure out. The cans and bottles can be difficult because, they're like, for instance, black plastics apparently are not acceptable, which I found that very interesting. And I hate throwing those in the trash because you feel like I should be able to recycle those, but it has something to do with whether they can, turn that into something else. And if it doesn't work out, they just can't use it.
Well, I think some of the sensors in the facilities need to be made so they can detect it, and then there has to be a market afterwards for it.
Right.
And it's sad because it must be the cheapest plastic, because You know, and that's just going from an uneducated guess of everyone uses it for, you know, I've seen microwave meals going more towards the clear or the white plastic, which is good. I wish restaurants would get off of the black plastic. Some of the, you know, larger organizations that do wonderful things in our community, I wish they would get off the black plastics. You know, but it's what's out there and what's available. We just need to, you know, come up with the technologies to use it.
What's your opinion of your constituents right now with the uptake of this program? Or what's their feedback for that you've heard? Is it good, positive? Are they complaining a lot? Well, how's it going?
I think we've seen about everything with it. There are some, even though this is probably the most advertised like change I've ever seen in the city. It's the most discussed. It's I'd the say. Most meetings. there are some people who have not heard much about it.
Even after all that,
mm-hmm. they'll contact me, ask me what's going on. Even after there's a pamphlet delivered with the recycling bins on how to use them, you know, I've still seen some people putting them out, you know, to the curb wrong. You know, they need to be 3 feet away from another toter. They have to be 5 feet away from anything else. They have to have a clear, you know, pathway to lift up the arm and dump it into the back of the truck so nothing obstructing it above. All these instructions were included with the recycling toters. So I hope people go back and read that. But, you know, there's definitely been some families calling this more of a family tax, a large family tax. Then there's been other families who say, yeah, we have five people in our family and we're having no problems with them. I think it's just some people have been recycling all along. Some people watch what they buy so it's not overpackaged.
Well, that's the big key, right? And it does make you think about what it is you're buying. And I wonder at some point, will that also change the methodology, you know, the practices of the people that are selling us the food, the packaged food? You know, will they take notice of people not wanting to buy things that don't recycle?
I think only if we complain to them, you know, voice our concern to the manufacturers that are just overpackaging everything.
Yeah.
I know I've seen an uptick. For people know, I'm a little bit of a geek. I'm a toy collector. Some of the major toy market areas, the companies are going away from having a plastic cover in front of a toy, and they're just putting them in a box with a picture of the toy.
Yeah.
Because for those who get rid of the box, it can be just recycled. You're not creating more waste in the form of that plastic that's not used for anything. And we need more companies to go with that. You know, for packing peanuts, we need the ones that dissolve in water that you can just put in your backyard and compost. And I think having systems in place like this will push for more products that are easily reduced, recycled, reused. You know, I try to put everything in. I know these bins are a little harder for me with some bigger boxes. However, they hold so much more, and my back doesn't hurt after bringing the recycling out to the curb.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, why is Pittsfield doing this? You know, this is the industry standard now. When we're in Boston for the Mass Municipal Association Conference, talking to other vendors, talking to our old trash hauler, Republic Services, they're not looking at any contracts that don't involve toters. And for our, you know, demographics here, the numbers were looked at, and this size toter, 48 gallons, is the way to save the most money going forward and to really push recycling the most.
Yeah, and that's certainly a factor. You have to deal with the city budget, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit here as well. But every little bit of that contributes to what we have to deal with. How, along with the rollout, I guess there were a couple of bumps in the road. Not bad, considering they're distributing over 17,000 toters, and the recycling ones went out first. And I guess there were some that were delivered to addresses that were sort of out of date and things like that. But it seemed like relatively few problems.
There was definitely some discovery during the process.
Yeah.
The list wasn't perfect. However, something like this hasn't been done before. Commissioner Morales did the best job him and his department could do with putting together a list for this, and we found a lot of places we need to tweak. We found, I think, some places that maybe were listed as a two or three family that ended up being more, or someone who's converted a two family back to a one family and never, you know, made the changes with the city. So we're updating some of those record cards and getting better information that's out there. You know, that's why it's always important. If you do any work on your house to pull a permit, so the city knows what's going on with the mm-hmm. property, so it's listed in the proper way. And then there were just some mistakes. There was a third-party company working with Casella, you know, and they just don't know the area, and they dropped off a few too many.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why recycling started first. Hopefully work out most of the issues with the recycling so the trash toter that everyone is really concerned with would be smoother.
Yeah, that's the big one, right? The recycling is great, and it does certainly hold more recycling stuff than the old blue bins do. If you ever noticed, you dump a full blue bin into one of those toters, and it fills up about half of the way.
Yep.
So, you know, you can easily get two of those. But I think the rubber definitely hits the road when you have to fit all of your trash in that 48 gallons. So we're going to see how that works out. We've already got, I think, what, the Friday and the Thursday people already have their trash.
Yeah, I've been using. Yeah, I'm on the Friday route. I've been using it for a few weeks now, and it's rolling out as we go. For people who really want to track this stuff, I find that the City Hall Facebook page is the best place to get information on everything going on in the city. Almost everything I share on my Facebook page is from City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Their Facebook page, the mayor's office does a wonderful job in collaboration with other department heads to really get the information out there.
Yeah.
And anything you can't find on there, you can always call the mayor's office. You know, not trying to drum up more traffic for them, but, you know, they do a really, Brittany and Catherine do an amazing job in that office, and they definitely deserve kudos.
Well, a lot of it is about communication. There's no doubt about that. And we're speaking with Pittsfield City Council President Pete White here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. This is certainly another way that communication gets out, and we're glad to have you on here to talk about some of the issues that are concerning people. Communication with the school committee is another thing that the city council is embarking on, and that that kind of grew out of last year's budget process. There was a big joint meeting, was it last week? Talk about that a little bit. What brought that about, and what kinds of things did you talk about with the school committee?
Well, we talked about the budget process. The mayor did a nice overview of how the numbers come in based on where the mayor and the finance administration feels, you know, we're going to be at. And then that's presented to the superintendent. Then the superintendent works with the school committee to work on their budget based on the needs of our schools, you know, which is the needs of our students, the needs of our future. And then after they do a very long process with the school committee, then it's finally presented to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked a little bit about the process of, you know, the school buildings, how they're overseen by the city building maintenance person, and then the park superintendent is the one who looks over the grounds.
Mm.
You know, we also talked a little bit about the central office restructuring, which introduced the four deputy superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about the school safety plan. You know, when something happens, you know, what does the school put out there?
Right.
And it was really just an opportunity for the city council to come together and hopefully ask more questions of the school committee. I thought it was a good meeting. You know, I'm hearing a little bit different from some counselors. However, you know, I really would like to hear from the public on anyone who watched the meeting and see what their questions are, what their thoughts are, because we really don't do things for ourselves. We do things for our constituents. And if it was helpful to our constituents to see that kind of meeting and for us to be talking more, you know, so we can know, you know, if there's somebody voicing concern over an issue and they're voicing it to a city council member when they should be voicing it to a city school committee member, you know, getting that information out there and maybe creating some new avenues for city and school employees to be able to voice their concerns in a better manner.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot came out about the budgeting process, and I think the surprise there was how detailed and how long of a process that is on the school side. I mean, certainly the city has its own budgeting process and going through every department. And but a lot of that seems to be sort of worked out before we get into the actual budget hearings, whereas the school committee, it starts even in September, October, and doesn't really finish up until late April, early May, by the time they know what number the city is working with. So that's just an enormous process. And to be fair, it's an enormous department. It's a very big department with lots of employees, teachers, 6,000 students, et cetera. It's a big process.
Yeah, and I think if we did this deep of a dive into any city department, we would see that there's a lot of intricacies. Mm. I just think that with something as large as the school system, with how much, state mandates, federal mandates that are there, on the ballot, are we going to have MCAS be a requirement? Are we not going to have MCAS be a requirement?
Well, we'll find out on Tuesday night, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And things like that, the city doesn't necessarily deal with on the city portion of government, because I hate to call them sides, but that's how we always see it. Mm-hmm. When we're really one entity, the school department has a separate elected body because it's been deemed so important mm-hmm. that it needs more eyes on it, and the public has more input through another elected body. However, we kind of separate the two. We don't see, when we look at DPW, Department of Public Services, Department of Public Utilities, we don't have a separate board to look over that. That's all done within the city.
Right.
But if we looked at that department, with wastewater, with parks, with roads, with clean water and everything, I think Commissioner Morales has like 9 basically divisions under him that he works with. We could spend an entire night working on the intricacies of that in the manner we did the school department. But the school department always gets more shined on it because of the, they're in charge of educating our youth
and
keeping them safe.
Yeah, right. And some of those issues, rightfully should come up in front of the school committee rather than maybe at the very end of the process is what it was discussed in that meeting, right? When you get to that final budget number and deciding what is going to be allocated to the school department, the decisions to make those things possible really happen far before that last decision. And rightfully so, with the elected body that's controlling it.
Yeah, and I think also, we look at it as budget season. I think what we're trying to do with this is make everyone realize that the budget is formulated through everything that happens every day.
Yeah.
Something that happens the day after the budget passes or a month after the budget passes could have a huge impact on what we do with the next budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't only be talking about or, having meetings about the budget or about working together just at the time where it's most critical and most people are looking at it. It's the decisions that are made in the what we would probably see as an off season. They probably have the most effect.
Right. And some decisions that were made this past year are still, coming forward. For example, the decision to replace the PHS boiler, which was a city council approval, right, to do that. Because it's a city building, it's a school building, but it's again managed by the Department of Buildings, that was. It's funny how when it hits the news and everybody says, "Well, why didn't they plan this out? Why didn't they?" It's like, well, maybe if you were watching back in June or July, you would know that this was a process that was always expected to take a certain amount of time, and it seemed like it was cut pretty close, but there were a couple of days there in October that were just too cold to open PHS without a boiler, right?
Yeah, these, the boilers have been discussed for a very long time. And, we had basically, I think, 3 locomotives put into the ground, and they built a school around it.
Right.
And our building maintenance departments over the years have kept those things going since PHS started. Huge shout out to, Brian Filio and previous, I don't want to get started naming them because I'll forget them, but building department directors who have kept these things running.
Right.
The people who keep our schools, our city buildings running, they do an extreme amount of work on older equipment. It's just becoming time. Mm-hmm. Same with, we're seeing roads falling apart more, water and sewer plants. becoming obsolete. Mm-hmm. You know, we're lucky to get as much time out of these buildings and facilities as we have, but at some point, you know, the same as you have to put a new roof on your house, you got to put a new roof on city buildings as well, and it's just more, you know, out there when something happens that the city was already on that boiler. However, the state inspector couldn't get out there in time for when it needed to be turned on. And, you know, look at how odd the weather has been to where we're having, you know, we're saying it was too cold in early October. Yeah. It's supposed to hit, I think I heard this morning, like 77 today. So you just don't know what's going to happen with the weather. Yeah. And moving forward, we'll, you know, have new boilers in place. Director Filio told us at that joint school committee city council meeting about the plans to, you know, get the new boilers in everywhere and then hopefully have a redundant backup system going for each of them.
And, you know, I've heard the statistic that there are about 100 buildings that the city owns and manages. Is that roughly accurate? I mean, that's a lot of buildings. And so each one of those is going to need a boiler, an HVAC system, et cetera. There's a lot to manage.
Yeah, I haven't tried naming all 100 city and school buildings. However, I do know when I have to. I think we have like 32 parks and conservation areas, and even trying to name all them is hard. So if we have 32 parks and conservation areas, I could easily see us having 100, you know, buildings, whether that's inside Pittsfield or outside Pittsfield, because our, you know, our water comes from outside of Pittsfield, and we have to maintain plants outside of Pittsfield, and, you know, we have employees that have to monitor those 24 hours a day.
Right.
And running the city is a big operation. And anyone who wants to know where the money goes, you know, we publish the budget books and they're out there for people to look at. They're available online. You know, the city government is very open to people wanting to look at how money is spent and where it's spent. And then, you know, follow up with your city councilors, and then we'll follow up with Director Kerwood to see exactly, you know, if we don't have an exact answer to something.
And nothing beats tuning into PCTV and watching the meetings for yourself. You can certainly stay informed and watch what's going on. That's what's happening.
You know, what's interesting is during that joint school committee city council meeting, I was thinking the whole time, this is a meeting I'm going to want to go back and watch again in a month or so. And I'm so happy that it's being recorded, you know, and that we were able to go live from Reed. Instead of having it in council chambers where we would have had to move all of the early voting out of, you know, if people are wondering why they keep seeing room 203 lately instead of our regular meeting space, it's because, you know, the city clerk's office, the voter's office is using council chambers so people can vote early and have more access to, you know, this historic election we have coming up. And if you're waiting for it, what's November 5th?
Yeah.
You know, we'll be next Tuesday will be your last chance to get your vote in for this cycle. But hopefully you've voted early or you've got your plan in place to vote next Tuesday, because I know the registration, the voter registration office and the city clerk's office have been working hard around the clock.
Yeah, they do a great job. Great job. And I will say I did my early voting there at city council chambers as well. It was nice and easy. You walk right in, just like you go into your polling place, except you can do it anytime you want. It doesn't have to be, you know, the morning or the evening of election day and get it out of the way. It's a really great service. So I gotta say kudos to that.
Yeah, I did mine last Wednesday before I left for vacation.
Nice. So that's going on right now, and tell people to vote and get out there and make your choice heard. And there are lots of easy options to be able to do that. And one of them is the early voting right there at Pittsfield City Hall on the second floor. City Council President Pete White is here this morning. We're talking about many different city issues. Got a couple minutes before our top of the hour break. What's your opinion on the new school building project that may or may not come? We're waiting with bated breath, I assume, for answer from the state school building authority to tell us whether we will be moving forward with a new project potentially at the Crosby campus. What do you feel about that?
I voted to support it moving forward to the stage. I want to see where the numbers come in. However, it's long overdue for the West Side to have a new project that is built really with everything, you know, everyone affected in that school district, and how we're looking at, or really how the school committee is looking at restructuring. So we have modern facilities. You know, we did a tour of that school last year with PCTV.
Right.
And, you know, it's tired. Mm-hmm. It's ready to be replaced. It's gotten its use. And also Crosby is one of the few properties we have in the city that's deeded to only be a school.
Right.
So it has to be used for educational purposes. So it's the right campus to be using. And it's got enough space to put this new facility. So, you know, I see myself supporting it, but we always have to see the numbers, devil's in the details, and you know, the school building needs process allows us to pay, you know, a portion and not have to pay for a full reconstruction, nor does it make us, you know, we would have to pay if we just wanted to say, you know, renovate it.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that with Taconic.
Yep.
That it's cheaper to build new than it is to renovate. And then anyone who's done a home project knows once you start working on something, it's everything just rolls along. Yep. You know, you have to replace this, you have to replace that. So it's just better to start new and give our future and our community the schools they deserve.
So the next step for the city in that process is if we hear back positively from the school building authority, the Mass School Building Authority, then the city council needs to take a vote, I believe, on a feasibility study, right? So that would be something we have to pay for in advance, and then we're paid back from the state something like 80% or 75%. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that sounds about the process. You know, once again, the school department takes care of more of that. And once we look at it, I think, you know, you can work up to 80%. Depending on if you go with all of their recommendations. So, you know, they're the ones recommending smaller gyms. They're the ones recommending smaller auditoriums. Mm-hmm. It's not that we don't want to have spaces like we had before.
Right.
However, we know what they'll pay for and what they won't.
Yeah, that's part of the problem is, you know, it's a good and bad. So you certainly get the money and it's no doubt taxpayer money. But if Pittsfield doesn't grab it, it goes to some other community in Massachusetts. And we lose out on potentially having a new and more modern building and avoiding some of these problems like we've seen with older buildings where they continue to need upkeep and money. And that comes right out of the taxpayer wallet for sure, right?
Yeah. We know plenty of our money goes to Boston. So whenever when we can get it back, we go for it.
It's a good idea. City Council President Pete White is here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. We're going to take that top of the hour break and we'll be right back with our conversation with Councilor White in just a moment. This is WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
Vessel sent shockwaves around the world.
Okay, all righty, let's play some tunes.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Hi, I'm Leslie Hertzberg, Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society. Spring through fall, we look forward to welcoming you for tours of Herman Melville's historic home, Arrowhead. We offer a wide variety of in-person and virtual programs throughout the year. Visit berkshirehistory.org for information on programs and to schedule a tour.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hello, wonderful people. This is your host, Tariq Pinkston, for the show. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. So that 12:30 slot is a time to help fill cups, fill your gas tank, and just give you a reboot for the day. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday at 12:30 p.m. You know, fill the gas tank, and I hope to see you there every Friday, 12:30 p.m. here on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. online at Sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you again this morning on a Thursday morning. It's Halloween, October 31st, and happy Halloween to everybody. Enjoy the trick-or-treat tonight in the city. Starts at 5:30, goes to 7 p.m., if anyone's interested in that. And, of course, get your candy if you haven't gotten that already. And I'm sure your kids, if you've got them, have their costumes and all ready to go out and canvass the neighborhood. It's going to be a nice night for it. And we'll listen to the weather forecast in just a moment to hear about that. And then we'll continue our conversation with City Councilor Pete White in just a moment. But first, here's the weather.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Friday, partly sunny with a chance of showers in the morning, then sunny in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. Temperature falling into the upper 50s in the afternoon. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, here we are back on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, and it's going to be a warm night. I mean, upper 70s for October 31st. My goodness, even the mid-50s for walking around for Halloween seems like a treat, not a trick. So enjoy that tonight. Back with City Council President Pete White. Thanks for being here again, Pete.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean. It's so important for, you know, the public to get to hear what's going on, not just from looking at the paper or watching it, but, you know, to have someone like you or Bill Sturgeon asking the questions.
Well, we try, and we want to get the word out there for sure. That's what a community radio station can do really well. So we're glad to see you and all the guests that we have on the show come and talk to us. So other things coming up for the city, Health and Safety Subcommittee going to be talking about what?
So the Committee on Public Health and Safety is supposed to meet every September. I will take the full hit for it not being September. Director Camby from the Health Department and I have been talking about getting all of the parties together for our annual review. So the first thing on the agenda is an annual update from the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, the DEP, and Massachusetts Department of Public Health regarding the monitoring protocols, monitoring outcomes, and upcoming activity associated with Building 71 and Hill 78, which are located on the property owned by General Electric and abutting the Allendale School property. So anyone who's been in Pittsfield for a while or just moved here, you hear about PCBs. This is done every year where we look at the numbers, we see where they're at, and we talk to the state's public health officials to know, you know, has anything changed? Is there any concerns, anything to worry about? You know, is anything coming up on the monitors?
And the monitors are what, air quality monitors, ground monitors? Is it both?
There's groundwater monitors and there's air quality monitors, OPCAs, they call them. And we review the numbers, you know, if there's an uptick in like stormwater, does that affect something? So that's reviewed every year, and that review is going to be on November 7th at 6 p.m. At City Hall and Council Chambers. There will be an open mic at the beginning of the meeting for anyone who wants to put questions forward to have councilors ask. And, you know, we may not get to every question if it's a little off topic, but we will try to get back to people with questions and then see where we go from there. And then we'll be doing an update from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health regarding the cancer incidence evaluation that Councilor Moon years ago put on the agenda and that we try to keep up with that, you know, trying to stay on their latest studies and the information that comes out. And then an update from the EPA and on the GE building demolitions that were recently in the newspaper. That's something we added because we're getting questions on it. So we felt appropriate to put that on the agenda. And
that's a huge change, too, for anyone driving by those former, I think it was Building 14 and Building 12 or something like that, which were the two buildings on either side of that huge Building 100, this PPDC now called, because I think SABIC still uses it for their stuff. But just a huge change in the Pittsfield landscape, seeing those two buildings gone.
Definitely. You know, I grew up on Plunkett Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive over there, and it's just so different.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, that Tyler Street extension area could really be marketed as Pittsfield Porches. You know, now they have beautiful views where they used to just look at GE buildings.
Yeah.
So the huge differences. And, you know, hopefully with the work of the, you know, Pittsfield Economic Development Authority, you know, we're going to see more action happening on that site. Mm-hmm. You know, Mayor Tyler worked very hard with state and federal officials to be able to get it. So we had the money to, you know, make it site ready. We know that every company that has come through has really said, yeah, we really want to, but it's not worth us putting the money into it. Mm-hmm. So Mayor Tyler's administration worked very hard to make sure that, you know, that got to the point of that shovels could be put in the ground and buildings could be put up, that there'll be infrastructure laid. But it's tough getting in there. And, you know, and then you have GE just on their own doing those other buildings.
Yeah.
And this stuff is all monitored. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the public gets really concerned when they hear a number going up or something like that.
Right. And there was an incident of that over the summer, right, while they were taking down one of the buildings. They've got air quality monitors all around there. And I guess they had to stop their deconstruction for a little while because one of the readings went too high. And then they were able to resume after it went back down. But it does show that, you know, you don't know what's inside those buildings. Some people, you know, the people that probably knew what are inside those buildings are probably long gone.
Yeah.
Or underneath the buildings.
But it also shows that there's nothing being hidden. It's all out there in the
right.
public. That was publicized. You know, we knew about it. We're going to be talking about it again. You know, PCBs, we would love to erase that history, but we're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
But when something is going on, there is constant monitoring. There's been monitoring since, you know, the consent decree started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were able to, you know, start recouping, and we're going to be able to put some of those buildings in areas back to use. However, we're doing it under the guidelines of the EPA and the DEP. To make sure that everything is done safely, whether it's a GE project or a city project or, you know, a city monitored GE project.
Yeah. So I suppose that Site 9 now, which is the old teens area, the buildings that came down probably almost 20 years ago now, that has really been, that landscape has completely changed. I think they were describing it for a while as a moonscape, right? Because it was just all old foundations, you know, with no buildings attached to them anymore. And over the summer, that was really transformed into, as you said, a workable, usable site for future construction. You know, does that really make it that much more attractive for a company to come in now and say, okay, because I see that this is functional, it has the infrastructure underneath, it's ready to build. Does that make it more likely that we'll have some new companies coming in and, you know, maybe making this work?
Well, I think we've already seen it, you know, under the Marchetti administration working with Milltown Capital, that they've announced that they're interested and, you know, have signed some papers and, you know, they're looking at how they can help redevelop that area. So, you know, as soon as the site was ready, you know, we said no to Walmart, I think three times, you know, when they would have paid for it.
They would have paid for the site reconstruction and everything too, yeah.
That was the plan going back to, you know, I think it came up once during Roberto, once during the Bianchi administration, and then the last time during the Tyler administration. And I think during the Tyler administration, just so many things were put on it, and the demographic of retail has changed so much with Amazon being, you know, where everyone goes to and why we have so much more waste in the waste stream because we're getting packaging and then we're getting packaging over the packaging. So it's changed how that site might have been used. You know, we've always wanted it for industry, you know, but we have other sites in the city that have been more attractive because of that site needing so much work. So I'm glad that we're finally at a point where Milltown thinks they can do something working with the city to get it going, and we'll see where that goes from there.
Yeah, with the emergence of Amazon, you certainly can look at retail buildings pretty much in any community, not just Pittsfield or the Berkshires, and say that retail is overbuilt. you know, compared to what is actually needed now. Now, who knows where it goes from there? You know, fads come and go, and right now, you know, online shopping seems to be the thing. I think you miss out on a little bit of life experience when you can't walk into a store and walk around, shop around, and I think that's what the small mom and pop stores, you know, on North Street and places like that do for an economy is keep that part of it running. But I think you like you said, you can't turn it around and say that Amazon, you know, will never be doing what it does in online shopping in general. It's just changed everything.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm not guilty of ordering stuff on Amazon. It's easy, it's convenient.
Yeah.
However, if we look at back when the mall was open, you know, I was up at Target, the lone standing entity up there. You know, if you think of all of those stores and all of those jobs that left the Berkshires, you know, and people can say they're only retail jobs, they weren't paying that much. Well, they paid to keep people, you know, in apartments. They paid, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes a second job. There are many people who made their living off of those jobs. And now that we're, you know, have just lost out on that whole sector, you know, every time you see a store close, how many people lose their jobs? You know, how much is that feeding into other issues we're seeing with, you know, I know it's not the only factor, but, you know, how much does that lead to homelessness? How mm-hmm. much does that lead to people just struggling to find an entry-level job?
Right.
You know, if somebody was a cash register person, you know, operating a cash register for 6 months at the mall, they could easily then go to a bank and say, I have cash handling experience. Can I be a teller?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need those feeder jobs to be able to establish a career. You know, you don't, some people are lucky enough just to go to college and be able to get something right out of college. However, most people need to get that 1 to 3 year experience before an entry-level job will look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I look at Indeed.com or any of the other sites, you know, JobQuest through Mass Hire is probably one of my favorites. Mm. And then, you know, there's a lot of others out there, BerkshireJobs.com. You know, those entry-level jobs are not entry-level.
Mm.
And I think we need to look at opening up more opportunities for people to get that ground level experience. You know, people need to, you know, look past somebody having maybe a couple gaps on their resume. Talk to them about it. You know, if somebody has spent some time out on Cheshire Road at the Berkshire House of Corrections, talk to them about how their life has changed because of it, not why that should be the reason they're not hired.
Mm.
You know, talk to them about their experiences that could be a benefit to your company and really be open to hiring some of these people who just need a chance, because those chances to easily just walk in, fill out a paper application and start working the next day are few and far between now.
Yeah, very, very different than it was even a decade or two ago. Pete White is our guest here. He's a Pittsfield City Council president, and we're here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And boy, the fate of shopping malls, probably 40 years ago, nobody could have predicted how much decline we've seen, you know, in that part of the economy. We thought that malls would be around forever. Why not? They're a great idea. We wanted one in downtown Pittsfield for a while, and that never came to pass. And that probably had as much conversation about it as the bike lanes on North Street. Now you can continue to talk about the mall that we never got on North Street, right?
Anything on North Street, I think, is going to be one of the biggest conversations.
Sure.
And I think what it really should be is, right now, at least, you know, we have one of our highest occupancy rates, if you talk to Rebecca Breen from Downtown Pittsfield Inc., that we've had in years. So, you know, we have so many new restaurants, new businesses opening up in downtown that, you know, we really do have a thriving downtown. People just need to get over, you know, maybe having to stay in the left lane with the bike lane. It's not a huge inconvenience. It's a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having to put money in the meter kiosks before 4 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
you know, after 4 o'clock and on weekends when a lot of these businesses are open and we're out of work, you know, it doesn't really affect you to have to use them. I use the app. I go into the parking lot on, you know, by the fire station across from the bus terminal. It's nice and easy to use, but, you know, we need to support what's there. And I think during my trip to Indianapolis, one of the things I see these giant malls that are still operating across the country. And, you know, it does make me miss it a little, but there's nothing better than being able to walk into a mom and pop shop on North Street. You know, Stephen Valenti's been there forever. If I need a new pair of shoes or, you know, when I need shoes, I get them at Stephen Valenti or the Garden. We have shops around here in the Berkshires. We just need to make sure that we, you know, patronize them.
Yeah, I got to say, though, anyone going to Target after it gets dark, I don't know if anyone's had that experience, but man, it is a kind of a creepy drive, driving around the old dead mall with no lights lighting up the parking lot. It's just, it's a strange experience. You know, and then Target is just this bright big store, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. So very, very odd how things worked out there for the Berkshire Mall.
Yeah, going to the Berkshire Mall now to go to Target is definitely a Halloween experience. And if you make the mistake of going in that first driveway when you're heading into Lanesboro, if you come over the mall road, yeah, you definitely want to go to that second driveway and go up. And when you leave Target, you definitely want to go down that direct driveway there, because you don't want to risk the potholes and everything else, because if you think Pittsfield has potholes, that parking lot's got some real ones.
And you won't see them in the dark, that's for sure. So in the time we've got left, let's talk about the next big thing over the next couple of meetings. Is normally this time of the year, setting the tax rate for 2025, which the city council will take upon itself as it needs to every year. That's generally necessitated by the budget process that was completed in June. Now, why does it happen in November, and what types of things do you have to work on to decide when you're setting the tax rate for next year?
We look at, you know, we had a finance committee meeting this week, although I was, you know, getting back from vacation a little tired during it, but Director Kerwood went over all the numbers that are coming in. You know, we know where revenues are, we know where expenses are, and it just has been the way it is always done, that you get halfway through the year, and then you set the tax rate for the rest of it, you know, based on, you know, what's our new growth been like? Has there been a lot of construction? Have been people pulling those permits, doing things to improve their property values?
So those are things like what we would call local receipts, right?
Yeah.
Things that the city earns, makes money on during the year. Sometimes there are excise taxes on cars, right? There's, like you said, permits and other things. What kind of other things does the city bring in money for?
Well, I think the usually the hottest topic and where people think we're going to make the most money is the marijuana receipts.
Okay.
And Director Crowd was telling us they're not tracking anywhere. You know, they're going to be lower than what they thought. Mm. And problem is, the prices of marijuana is going down. Other states have legalized. You know, this was supposed to be a gold mine, you know, to those who were, you know, thinking that back in the day. But, you know, it really hasn't turned out to be all that much money. And it's, you know, it's diminishing.
Sounds like a bit of a bubble, you know, where it starts out being something that everyone thinks is going to be a huge rush of money. And then, as you say, other players get into the market, you know, the other states legalize it, and then suddenly there's not a big draw anymore.
Yeah, and I, you know, as much as I'll promote any Pittsfield business, I'll promote our, you know, marijuana facilities here, our marijuana retail stores, because if you're going to even Lenox, Lee, especially if you're going out of state, you're also bringing your taxes out of the area.
Yeah.
So if you leave Pittsfield to buy the marijuana, you're not keeping that money here that might go to, you know, projects you want to see happen here. You know, we know a portion of that goes to, you know, road projects. You know, if you want to see that money invested, invest it here in Pittsfield. You know, same with the support businesses that are here, and try to keep the money that we can here. You know, our, you know, I love our restaurants. You know, a portion of that tax, you know, it's here.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that, you know, anything we can keep here in Pittsfield to help Pittsfield that we do. At least keep it in the Berkshires.
Yeah, for sure. So how is it looking then for next year's tax rate? Is it something that things are going basically as expected? Are we going to expect any big surprises? Because, of course, that all has to be done before the first tax bill arrives in January, right? So that all has to be set well before that.
I think we will know more once we get hard numbers from the mayor on what he plans to do. You know, I don't want to steal any of his thunder or anything else. You know, we got to know what the plan is he puts on the table for, you know, where the shift is going to be, you know, how much is going to be on residential, how much is going to be on businesses, you know, where we're going to go with that, you know, exactly where are all the numbers coming in. You know, we get an extensive rundown from the assessor's office, so I don't want to try to play their job and speculate too much, but you know, I think there could be some belt tightening. You know, but that's a guess at this point. We'll see exactly where the mayor brings it, because even if you lower the tax rate, if evaluations are still coming in high, you know, you could still see an increase in your bill. So I really won't be able to say until I see all the numbers put forward and hear what the rest of the city councilors want to do.
And then the process starts all over again when we start talking about the FY26 budget, which I'm sure the conversations on that will start just after the new year. So it all has a cycle, a process, right?
Yeah, and I know one of the things that you wanted to get to was ARPA funding.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that Mayor Marchetti has been involved with city government for so long. So he knows, and I've heard from him for a long time that, you know, it's not, you know, as soon as ARPA ends, it's not this year we have to worry about it. But when those funding stops and we've stopped using that money, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, we need to, you know, as was pointed out during that joint school committee city council meeting, we have to be careful with when we accept these grants, what goes along with it and what is it going to be like when those drop off.
Yeah.
So I think
how long can you sustain whatever services you're providing with that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the cuts to the school department were because the ESSER funding ended, that which was their version of ARPA, not because we wanted to get rid of positions, but because our funding dried up for them.
Right.
So we have to really watch what those grants are that we, you know, take the money and then where's the cliff?
Mm-hmm. And for example, some of the money that needed to be spent, I think it needed to be encumbered right by the end of 2024. I noticed that the Willis Street parking lot was being paved. I think that was one of the projects that was being done with whatever remaining ARPA money. What were some of the other ones that were still being worked out?
I don't have exactly in front of me, but I know the city's been doing a lot with housing. You know, so we'll see hopefully the White Terrace apartment buildings that for the longest time, you know, I don't even remember the last time I visited a friend who was living over there. You know, it's been years. That'll be brought back online. Hopefully we'll see the West Housatonic project move forward. So we will have more places to house the homeless.
And the project at Zion Church also, right, on First Street. That's another part of that project.
That's going to be a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. The new shelter coming online, you know, on Fenn, all of these things coming together. And then just, you know, go to the city website, look at all the ways ARPA monies have been used to benefit the community, different organizations that can do more than the city because they don't have to create the infrastructure to do what they work on.
Well, certainly addressing the issue of homelessness and the housing crisis that we've addressed here on this show in the past certainly is something that needed to be addressed. And to have those one-time monies to be able to at least get that stuff underway and provide those facilities where, you know, if you didn't have the money, could you even be talking about it? I'm guessing no.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been a new housing project in Pittsfield, I think, since the new Amsterdam apartments. And then before that, it was the mill over in Morningside that I shouldn't blank on. The Rice Silk Mill that my aunt used to work at, so I shouldn't blank on that. The funding just hasn't been there. So to have new funding in for projects like this, you know, that's why if...
St. Mary the Morning Star
exactly.
Project.
That's why when the city is presented with offering a tax increment exemption, you know, for something like that, or, you know, TIFs for businesses to increase our hotel motel capacity, you know, the city has to look at those strongly. And it's not a tax giveaway when we do one of those. They still pay the base tax. And then we increasingly see more taxes based on the investments that go in. But it's all a balancing act. There's way more than what we can cover in an hour. And that's why it's great that people can go back and watch, you know, recent community and economic development meetings, the finance meeting we had this week, the public health and safety meeting we have coming up next week. And we have an ordinance and rules meeting next Monday. I think we have election day on the 5th, and then we'll have a city council meeting the following Tuesday. So a lot to watch.
Busy time, as it is, and I think with a lot of people focused on the elections that are happening, especially the presidential election, I think that's where most people's focus is right now. There are some ballot questions out there. I was hoping to go over those with you, but we are fresh out of time here this morning. We'll have to take that up at another time. I'll bet the one for whether the rideshare drivers can form a union, I'll bet you have an opinion on that.
I definitely support that. You know, I'm a union guy.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody can form a union and have that collaboration with workers working with management and having more equal playing field is a good thing, and those rideshare workers need it.
How about the restaurant issue with the tipped workers?
The restaurant worker issue has been tough. Right now, I'm a no on it.
Yeah.
Because I don't see it being good for our restaurants, but I know a lot of union people are a yes on it. Mm. I think it's one of those ones that is overly complicated.
I think that one's going to be close.
I think I really it is. You know,
but what about the MCAS issue?
The MCAS, I say get rid of the MCAS because we need our teachers and educators making the decisions, and I just don't see it as a benefit. Yeah.
We could have done a whole half hour on those, but yeah. Pete White, thanks for being here this morning. President of the City Council in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, happy to have you here on the show, as always, answering our questions, and hope to have you back soon.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right, everybody. Have a great day out there. Howard Herman joins me tomorrow on the show, so stick around for that. The Yankees lost.
Yeah,
the Yankees lost.
Congratulations, Dodger fans. I'm a Sox fan. I'm not going to say too much.